Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. It is a day that floods with memories. And when I think back to my childhood, I'm so thankful for the mom that I had and the way she took care of us, the sacrifices that she made, and the being there day in and day out to be a healer and a comforter and an encourager and everything. I am who I am in a huge part because of my mom and, you know, the Nana she is to my kids as well. I get to watch them get the same support and care that I got as a child from my mother, and then with my wife, with Christy. I couldn't be more thankful for the mother she is to my kids and the heart that she has to love and comfort and nurture them. And I know sometimes Mother's Day doesn't bring up good memories for everybody, and I understand that, but for me and my house and my family, they're good. And this week has been a week of memories. We moved our oldest child home from college for her first year. So as we're moving her out from the dorm, it's all of those floods of emotions that we had moving her in, and then graduation for our number two child, Logan. Man, sitting there and seeing all of the boards of all the pictures and all the memories, and it's just, those are the memories that you keep, and they energize you, they help push you forward. And then, but memories, they're a funny thing, because there's all types of memories that you have stored in your memory banks up there, and some of them are just plain stupid. And I'll give you an example of mine. When Peyton was about 5 years old, she was a little mom. She was mom number two in our house. She always wanted to cook. She's always wanted to help mom clean. She always wanted to take care of her little brothers, whatever that meant. And one day, Chrissy was out, and Grayson was just a few months old, and I got him to sleep in his swing. And I went to my room to do something. I don't remember what, but I went to my room, and Grayson started crying. So I finished what I was doing, and I went to head back into the living room, and he stopped crying. And I'm like, oh, whatever happened, he maybe got his binky, he corrected himself. And as I walked around the corner, our five-year-old daughter is holding our months-old son. And the pure panic that came over me was the dumbest moment probably of my life. Instead of walking over and taking him out of her arms and thanking her for trying to help, I quickly yelled at, Peyton, put him down! And she put him down. And Grayson bounced off the floor, and we had more tears, and then I had a lot of explaining to do when Christy got home. But those are the moments where no harm, no foul, at least I think. We don't think there was no harm, no foul. But those are the moments we look back and we go, oh man, that was stupid. Why did I do that? Why did I do that? Why did I say those words? But then there's those memories that there's not no harm, no foul. Those memories that we have stored up, and they continually take us back to a place where we were at our worst, a place where we have failed, a place where the sin in our life has not only affected us, but affected the lives of other people that we love. And those are the memories that we just sometimes get stuck in, that we get caught in. They chain us, they drag us down, and they keep us back and drag us back to a life that we were never meant to live. And we see that. We see a great example of that in John chapter 21 and Peter. See, just a few nights before this moment, Peter had the worst night of his life. And he's got a recording just looping over and over and over in his brain of all the times that he failed Jesus, the times that he denied him, the times that he stepped back, his Lord, his God, his friend, that he let down on the night that led to his ultimate death on the cross. And we all have a thing. When life gets tough and we can't bear it, we all have a thing that we kind of try to check out. We go to try to check out. And Peter, he just says this simply, I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing. And as he goes out there, I think What Peter's trying to do is to make himself busy, because he knows that night after night, when he tries to lay his head down, when he tries to go to sleep, he's unable to. He tosses and turns with those moments just replaying in his brain. His failure over and over and over again. So no sleep is coming to him at night. So why not go fishing? Because that's when fishing happened then. Get on your boat and you go at night. Try to sneak up on the fish. And so he grabs his stuff and he heads out. But him trying to escape those memories had to just triggered them over and over and over again. Because he's in the boat. He can see the spot where Jesus slept the night that the storm was raging. And all the disciples thought they were going to die, and Jesus is just sleeping through it. And when they finally wake him up, he calms the storm with just a word. And everything goes calm and silent, and Jesus does a miracle. And that's the Jesus that he betrayed. And then another night when the waters are rough, walking across the water at the boat is Jesus. Another miracle where he's walking on water right at Peter, and he calls Peter out. He calls Peter out of the boat, and for a moment, Peter is standing on the water, and then Peter starts to sink, and Jesus has to grab him and pull him up. That's who he betrayed. That's who he denied. He denied the person that he saw miracle after miracle after miracle, and the person that became his friend. And then as the sun starts to rise, they start heading in, and one of the other disciples notices Jesus is standing on the shore. And Peter gets out of the boat, he covers himself back up, and he heads to Jesus. He hightails it to Jesus while the other disciples have to bring the boat in. And the scene is much like this. I'll take out the lights in the background. Those wouldn't be there, but the sun is starting to rise over the lake, over the body of water, and Jesus actually has a campfire on the beach where he's cooking breakfast. It wouldn't be a breakfast I would want. I want bacon and eggs. Jesus is cooking fish and bread. I'm not really down for that in the early dawn of the morning, but hey, Jesus sets the stage for something big to happen. And that's where we're gonna pick up. John 21, verse 15, it says this, after breakfast, and in this moment, it's just Jesus and Peter. It's just Jesus and Peter. All the other disciples either went off or Jesus and Peter went off, we don't know, but it's just Jesus and Peter in this moment. 15 says, after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And there's two things right here that Jesus is making a point of. One, Jesus changed Peter's name to Peter. The rock in which he would build his church, Jesus gave him that new name to signal the life that he was calling Peter into. And in this moment, he's calling Simon his old name. Simon. Do you love me more than these? And then these is his gear, his tackle box, his nets, his fishing gear, whatever it looked like, his boat. The tools of the trade that made Peter who he was in his old life, Peter is now pointing to, going, do you love me more than this life? Do you love me more than your old life? Do you love me more than the life that you used to lead? Yes, Lord, Peter replied, you know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. That's great. Because right now, the life that where you're at right now looks a lot like your old life, but I called you to this. So it's time to move forward. Let's move in that direction. Let's go in the direction, feed my lambs, because that's what I've called you to. Verse 16, Jesus repeated the question. Simon, son of John, old Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter replied. You know I love you. Then take care of my sheep. Old life, new life, and what's Peter feeling right now? That's two times, back to back, straight in a row. What is Jesus doing? He knows, I'm telling him, right? Oh, but Jesus is trying to get deeper. Jesus is trying to get deeper than words can get, and that's what he's calling him to in this moment. He's opening up the wounds. I kind of Picture it as like a break of a bone that isn't quite healing right, and they have to come back in and re-break it and get it set to where it heals in the correct way. Verse 17, a third time he asked, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, then feed my sheep three times for three denials. Three times Jesus asked, do you love me, for the three denials that he gave just a few nights before. Let's move past this. You've got to face this. You've got to see this. The moment of his failure, Jesus cuts it deep to the heart to try to dig that out. And this wasn't to embarrass Peter. It's quite the opposite. This moment is to redeem Peter. Yes, Peter, I know everything about you. Yes, Peter, I know everything about you. You know that I know everything about you, and I still trust you to step into the life that I am calling you to, no matter what you have done. This is restoration. This is how Jesus works with Peter, and it is how he works with us as well. 18, I tell you the truth, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go, but when you were old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. He said this to let him know the kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him to follow me. Peter, this life isn't going to be easy. There's going to be more nights like the night, just a few that you were stuck in. There's going to be more nights that come up like this. But do you trust me enough to step through those nights, to step through all the hard junk of this world and be the man that I called you to be and lead this group forward? Are you? Then let's go. Let's go, Peter. Follow me. Let's go. And then here's the bottom line. Every message I have a bottom line. If you leave this place and remember one thing, it is this line. The healing of our hearts will never happen without the one-on-one moment with Jesus. And this is what Peter gets in this time. It is a moment that Peter is there and he is made to let Jesus do the work in his heart. And it goes the same for us. The healing of our heart will never happen without the one-on-one moments with Jesus. When I was a kid, every Friday night I would stay the night at my grandparents' house. And I was, for at least most of my life, the only boy on that side of my family. And my grandpa spoiled me rotten. Every moment of my life, he was there, and he spoiled me rotten. And Friday nights, I stay the night over there, and we get there. And okay, does everyone know what an ice cream truck is? Okay, sometimes when I ask people, yeah, I've heard of it, but I've never had one go through my neighborhood. They, for whatever reason, they had two a day go through their neighborhood most of the time. Sometimes it was just one, but usually two a day. And they had the two different ice cream trucks. There was this, it was a basic ice cream truck with basic ice cream, and it was always the one that would roll by. And my grandpa gave me a dollar, and a little bit before dinner, I went out, and I got my ice cream, and I was happy. Until I heard the sound just about an hour later. And it was the sound of the Pink Lady. That was the name of this other bubblegum painted ice cream truck rolling through the neighborhood. And that one had the good stuff. I'm talking the little character heads. My favorite was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle heads with the bubblegum eyeballs. That is what I wanted whenever they rolled through. And the other ice cream truck didn't have them, but that. So as he's rolling through, I hear and I ask my grandpa, Grandpa, I need a dollar. Pink Lady's coming through. I need a dollar. And he tells me no. My grandpa that never told me no for anything ever in my life just told me no. And so as the spoiled kid that I was by my grandpa, I kept on. I doubled down. I put pressure on him, and it wasn't working. And the more pressure I put on him, the more I threw a fit, it wouldn't work. And so the madder I got until I just became disrespectful. And I don't remember what I said, but I remember what happened. And whop, I got a good one. My grandpa had never even told me no before. I'd never thought in a million years that my grandpa would swap me and put me in my place, and I deserved it. And I don't remember much about that night moving forward besides going to bed and laying there and just tossing and turning all night long with the moments that have happened, the guilt that I felt. If someone asked me after first service, did you apologize? I don't remember. I don't. But I know the guilt that was inside me was just tearing me up. And the next morning, my grandpa always made me breakfast. Bacon, eggs, potatoes, toast, the whole works. And I woke up to him making breakfast. But see, when I was a kid, I was a French fry fiend. Now, so addicted to French fries, I would roll up to their house. They would have bags in the freezer for me, and I would pour them out on a plate, and I would microwave them. That soggy mess that would come out of there that I wouldn't recommend to anybody for whatever reason, I had it every time I'd go in. And yes, it is disgusting now, but for whatever reason then, my grandpa, knowing that about me, he cooked the fries and the bacon grease. It wasn't regular potatoes, it was French fries and bacon grease, and my life was changed forever. And that Saturday morning as we sat there, ate breakfast, watched Saturday morning cartoons, everything was right again. Everything was right because me and my grandpa had that one-on-one moment that brought me back into relationship with him and took away all of the fears and the doubts that I had. And it's like that with Jesus. He set the stage for us. He has the figurative campfire going on the beach side of the lake. He's ready for us to come in and accept those one-on-one moments. The problem is we don't have them very often. We don't. We may be good in our devotionals. We may sit down and we may plow through scripture and then head on to the next one. But how many times do we actually sit in the moment and just listen and just be with God? And that's what we have to change about our secret life, about our life with Jesus. That's what we have to change, is being able to sit there and let him transform us with his word. Take it in. Let it sink in. Have moments where we just say, Jesus, I've come to be with you. Those are the moments that'll heal our hearts. The healing of our heart will never happen without the one-on-one moments with Jesus. And we're going to do this. We've talked about this a while ago. I'm going to bring it back. It's a thing called the first 15. If you already have your system, if you already have your time with God and you're able to do this, that's great. Keep doing what you're doing. That's the most important thing. But the first 15, it's 15 minutes every morning. Just 15 minutes every morning. You wake up, and yes, that may mean you have to wake up 15 minutes earlier, but if it's 6:45 versus 7 o'clock, it's okay. You're not going to die that day, I promise you. But you wake up, you spend the first few minutes in worship. You just start a worship song. And you just praise him. And then you spend the next 5 minutes in a devotional, in his word, whatever that may be. And then you spend the next five in prayer. But I'm telling you, sometimes, some of us, we talk too much. And we do that with Jesus. And those moments that we are in prayer with him, all we do is just give a list and give a list and give a list of the things that we want and the things that we think we need. And we never stop and listen to what he's trying to do in our hearts. And that, I think, is one of the most important things we can do. It's all important, but that is one of the most important things that we can do. is we can be quiet and listen and just be with Jesus. And whatever you're dealing with, whatever is looping in your brain over and over, the memories that are pulling you back to your old self, the memories that are keeping you from being the person that he has called you to today, I promise you, he's going to get into your heart and he's going to heal whatever it is, that whatever sin that is dragging you down and holding in bondage, whatever ministry or whatever memory of whatever failure that you've had, you just can't shake, relationships that you are struggling with. Those are the moments where he's going to do the work, and it's not going to be easy. It's not going to take away the fact that this life is hard, but it puts this ability inside of you to handle it. It's his spirit inside of you that helps you handle those moments. Let me pray for us. God, we thank you. We thank you for the love that you pour out on us each and every day. We thank you for those moments that we get to heal, to hear your small voice. God, whatever is going on in this room right now, whatever memories, whatever burdens are holding people down, Lord, be there. Bring healing to those hearts. Let them get into a moment with you where they will never be the same. All of that pain can be washed away. And we know that you were there. We know that you have set the table for us. We know that you have the fire burning. Lord, help us to step into those moments just to be with you. Lord, for those that have never said yes to you, those that still haven't taken that step forward and said, God, take my life. Let me be with you. I give everything to you. Be with them right now. This is the time for them to hear your voice. This is the time for them to see you move in their lives. And God, we thank you and we love you. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. See, what Peter never knew is that night of his worst failure, is what leads to the moment on the cross that brings his healing, brings all of our healing. And some of you, you haven't accepted that yet. And so what we do is we all say a prayer together at the end of service, and it'll come up on the screen right now. We're all gonna say it with you, but if you've never said yes to Jesus, this is the time. And I promise you, you will never look back and regret. You will only have a healer right there to help you get to move past all of those memories of that sin and all that you've been carrying that just burdens you and holds you down. This is the moment right here. With that, let's all say it together. Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that he gave his life to forgive my sins, and I was raised from the grave to give me life. I receive your grace by faith. Come into my life. I will follow you. Amen.
Hey, if you said yes to Jesus for the first time, or you just read that prayer for the